John, third chapter, and we're going to read verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the wonderful gift that you've given us in giving your Son, and with him comes eternal life. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, that we do not have to perish, but Lord, we can be saved, born into the family of God through Jesus Christ, and have the assurance of heaven forever. I want to thank you today for your presence with us. This preacher needs you. I need your power, your wisdom. I need you to help me as I preach this message. And Lord, my trust, my prayer is that it'll honor and glorify your name, in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm going to preach a simple message this morning, which I've just simply entitled, The Gift. The Gift. I imagine you're like me. You've received a lot of gifts in your day. In the years that you've lived, you've received Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and maybe anniversary gifts and all kinds of gifts. In fact, when I was a boy, Christmas time, we'd go across the road. We lived out in the country. We'd go across the road. We had permission to do this. There was a big wooded area and it went a long, long way. And every year, my brother Marvin and Herschel and me would go across there, and we'd find us an old fir tree. A little old fir tree stood about usually that tall, because that's all the tall it could be to get a stand on it, get it into the house. We'd find that old fir tree, and we'd cut it down, drag it down, no matter how far we had to drag it back home and set it up. And we didn't have electricity at that time, so we didn't have any lights to put on the tree. We just made some kind of like construction type rings, you know, construction paper stuff, you know. And Mom would make us up some glue with the flour and water, mix it up, and that's what we'd use. And we'd make streamers, you know, and things like that. Make a star some way up there, some tin foil or something. And that'd be our Christmas time. And I remember one year, most of the time, the gifts at our house was fairly scarce. Didn't know it at the time, but look back, my goodness, I can't imagine getting what some of these get today. I can't imagine something like that as a boy. But I remember one year my brother, I think it was Buell or Delmas, and I'm not real sure, it might have been Delmas, that brought to us boys, Marvin and Herschel and I, he brought us each a knife, a hunting knife, and that was in a sheath. And they gave each one of us one of those, wrapped up, you know. I was so excited, I could try to figure out what was in that thing, and got that knife. I never thought I'd have anything like that. Exciting. Got that knife and remembered that. And I remember one year, and I think it was Delmas again, he was always pretty good at helping us boys, and we down in Greencastle on the, let's see, it'd be the west side of the square, they used to have a used furniture store. And also in that store, they sold used comic books. Yeah, they did. They sold used comic books. In fact, you could take your comic books down there, you could trade two for one. You had some old ones, you could give them two, and they'd give you one back. And folks, now when you think of comic books, it's nothing what you're talking about. Oh, my goodness sakes, no. These were Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Lash LaRue, Hopalong Cassidy. I mean, these were real good. Amen. And my brother went down there and he bought a whole box of used comic books, put them in, wrapped them up for us three boys. And I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I thought that was such a great gift. I really did. You know, we enjoyed some things like that. But boy, you better stay away from them now. I can't imagine what they are now. But anyway, I think back on my life and I think of the many gifts I've gotten, and you too. But there's never, ever, ever been a gift like God gave me. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's the greatest gift. In 1966, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. God gave his son for my soul. Greatest gift I've ever, ever received. I just want to, this morning, just talk to you a little bit about that gift. We'll look at who gave that gift, first of all. You realize the one who gave the gift to us was the creator of all things. Our God created every animal that you ever see, every bird that flies in the air, every fish that swims in the rivers and the oceans, every tree that you see. Sister Jessica's grandma, we went up and picked her and her grandma up at the airport. And she was riding back here with us, you know, and she kept looking. He said, look at all the trees. All the trees. She said she hadn't seen them since she had been living up in Michigan like that. And I thought, we've got a wonderful country, a wonderful, beautiful. God made every one of them. He made the rivers and the oceans and the stars and the moon and the sun. He hung them all in place. That one who did that gave his only begotten son. The creator gave his only son. When did he do that? The Bible tells us before the foundation of the world. It was all planned before the foundation of the world. God planned to give his son, for he knew we'd sin and come short of the glory of God. And God made a way that we could have eternal life and live with him forever. So he gave his son. The Bible says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There could be many children born, but there could only be one son given. And that was the Son of God that God gave unto us that we might have eternal life. Where did he give that gift? First of all, it started in a manger. A little manger over there in Bethlehem. God brought his son into this world there in that manger. And then his whole life was given to us, a perfect life without sin. And then, of course, we could say he went to the cross of Calvary. You're familiar with this. You've heard the Bible preached. God sent his son to that cross to die for the sins of all the world. And then he sent him to the grave for 3 days to be in that grave. And thank God for the resurrection of the Son of God. And the Bible teaches us that he's our intercessor. He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Amen. And soon coming again. Jesus coming again. Soon, possibly. Amen. That's who God gave to us, O wicked people. God gave him. Then, of course, why did he do it? Well, the Lord loved us, and he knew that we was going to perish if he did not make a way of salvation. Every single person in this room deserves hell. No, every single one of us deserve hell. Every single one of us. But God said, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to have eternal life. I want you to live with me forever. So God sent his only son. Then it's up to us to receive that gift. The gift given, the gift received. See, God is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Every single person, God says, I want them to be saved. But he leaves it up to us to receive the gift that God gives, every single one. You know, it'd be good, in all seriousness, even though this is a very simple message, you've heard it, I'm sure, many times, the wonderful truth of salvation through Jesus Christ, but it'd be a good thing today if you'd listen. be a good thing today if you'd just take notice, because it may be God's way of speaking to you, maybe for the last time in your life. It may be it. We don't know, you see. But it's a wonderful thing, and God gave that wonderful gift to all who will receive it. He says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, making a difference who you are, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be born again. It worries me. One man said, conviction is one of the most strangest, wonderful things that can come upon a person. He went on to say, you don't see a whole lot of it. I say to you, to be born again, there must be the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God that convicts you of your sin, so that you see yourself as a sinner as God sees you, before you can ever receive a gift that you don't even really know that you need. See, when God convicts a man of his sin, he realizes who he is and what he is. He realizes God loves him and wants to save him and give him eternal life. Amen. I would suggest today that you let God deal with you, speak with you, and bear witness with your heart that we all are sinners. Without Christ, we'll die and we'll spend our whole eternity in a devil's hell. We understand that. Bible says in John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You see, this wonderful gift that God gives and he offers unto us, he leaves it up to us whether we're going to receive it or not. He said, if you'll come to me, he said, I won't cast you out. I won't say no to you. I'll give you that eternal life. That's what God says. Amen. You see, I don't know whether you're saved or not. I don't know whether there's ever been that time in your life when you've truly come to Christ. You see, if you have, you came by the way of the blood. You come by the way of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You put your faith and trust in him, because there's no other way. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I say to you, you see, God wants every person to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. No person. But it's up to them. You got to come to him, you see. And then also he tells us, when is the time of salvation? Well, the time of salvation is now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now's the day. Day's the day a person ought to get saved. Amen. Today's the day. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. You ought not put it off one more moment. See, as I said to you, I worry sometimes. I know if you're saved, you're saved. You put your faith and trust in Christ, you're saved. You're God's child. But oh my, I see so much nowadays. I see so much, you know, just that goes on in those who say they're saved and say they put their faith and trust. There don't seem to be a lot of interest in the things of God, and that worries me, that concerns me. Amen. If you're saved, you ought to have some kind of relationship with him, ought to have some kind of fellowship with him. Amen. Fellowship ought to be sweet, you see. If you're saved, you're either backslidden or you're right with God, one or the other. Amen. And if we're backslidden, we need to get right with God. Amen. See, that's what God wants. He wants that for you. But you better make sure you're saved. Make sure that you have the eternal life that God offers unto us, you see. We must receive that. When? Well, now's a good time. Day's a good day. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the time, you see. Bible says, let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what he says? If you're thirsty, you can come. You'll get that thirst quenched. Are you thirsty? See, a lot of folks not thirsty. I didn't get really thirsty till 1966. I was a religious person. I was a church member. But I didn't really get thirsty till I saw myself as an old wicked sinner, lost without hope. I come to Jesus and I got it all taken care of. You see, that's what everybody must do, you see. If we tend to go to heaven, that's what we must do, you see. And God says today's a good day to do that. Right now, today, invitation, be a good time. You know, Oliver B. Green told in one of his books, he said two people during his preaching in old tent meetings, Oliver B. Green, with great preachers, wonderful, wonderful man of God, preached the Bible. And I cut my teeth on his teaching. I'd turn the radio on going home from work, and I'd listen to Oliver B. Green preach the Word of God. Boy, he wasn't no pussyfooter. I mean, he preached it just like it was. But he said two men come to the altar and got saved at the altar in one of his tent meetings two different times and died immediately afterwards. Died here at the tent after they'd got saved, after they got born again. Died right there. I'm saying you don't know. Some young person says, well, that wouldn't be me. I'm young. Don't make any difference. Young people die. Yeah, young people die. So you don't know if you're going to have another day or not. Amen. You just don't know. So I'm saying to you, now's a good time. Right now's a good day for salvation today. And where? Well, anywhere you're at. It don't make any difference. Wherever you're at, if you're in jail, it'd be a good place to get saved. The jailer got saved right outside the jail. Amen. Ethiopian eunuch, he got saved in a chariot. Amen. That's a good place. Riverbank, Lydia got saved down by the riverbank. It's a good place to get saved. Amen. Don't make a difference where you are. Get saved. My wife got saved in a chariot. Sure she did. She got under conviction. Kind of got mad at me. I got saved, and she said, why didn't you wait on me? I said, I ain't going to wait on nobody. I'm going to get saved. So 2 weeks later, she pulled the car over to the side of the road and asked Jesus to save her. She got saved in a chariot. Amen. See, it don't make a difference where you are. God wants to save you. Some people think you have to be in church. You don't have to be in church, but church is a good place to get saved. Amen. That's a good place to get saved. I remember many years ago, some of you remember that. We was on a Wednesday night. We was preaching. And there was a lady, Adeline Marshall. You remember that? You guys remember that? Adeline Marshall. She was back there somewhere around where Tina and Bud's sitting, somewhere in there. And I was preaching, right in the middle of my preaching on Wednesday night. She just got up and run down the aisle, come down here and got on the altar here. We had somebody take her and show her how to be saved, and she got saved. See, that's a good time to get saved. If I was you, if I wasn't saved, I'd get up right now. I'd just come. Be a good thing to do. You see, why? You don't want to take a chance. You don't want to take a chance. See, you're not getting saved, missing heaven. You don't want to take that chance, you see. God gave a wonderful gift of eternal life to each and every one of us. You see, he wants us to have that gift, but he leaves it up to us to choose. Well, where? Right now is a good time. Right here in church, right now is a good time. You see, why? Because if you don't, you're going to perish. Now you will. You'll perish forever and ever in a devil's hell forever and ever. See, there's many people, because I know Satan used to tell me the same thing. He's a rascal. He's a rascal. He said, you can put it off. You can wait. You see, my, there's multitudes of people who's put off salvation and waited too late. People dying all the time. Amen. Taylor, I'm sorry about your uncle. Angie's great uncle or uncle. He died 58 years old. That's not old. I'm sorry about that. I really am. Don't know anything about him. Don't suppose I ever met him. But I'm sorry about that. But we don't know. You see, we just don't know when it's going to be, when God's going to call us home. So it's the best thing to do is just get right with the Lord, you see. It says in John the 8th chapter, he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You see, there's no doubt. You say, believe that he is what? That he's just existed? No. We know he existed. No, you believe that he is what? He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. He came and died for your sin. He's the Savior of the world. That's who he is. You got to believe that. You got to believe that and put action to that by receiving him. Receive the gift that God gives. And that gift is eternal life, you see. Have you done that? You sure? There's a time when you trusted Jesus. Look back. No, I mean look back to the day when you got saved. Remember back right now to that day when you got saved. Did you truly know and understand that you was an old rotten sinner and need Christ? Did you understand that? And that you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him for your salvation? See, that's what we do, you see, when we get saved. If not, now would be a good time to get saved. Amen. Now would be a good time, wonderful time, you see, to get saved. And then after that, of course, not only is the gift given and the gift received, the gift should be shared. See, God gives us a gift that we can share. Amen. And God wants us to do that. Well, who do we share it with? Well, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was in a church last Wednesday night, and they had across the top there that verse of scripture. Now, I thought, boy, that's truth. I sat there and I read it before I got up and preached, and I said, it tells us to go, who, ye, me, you, where? Into all the world. May you never swear. Go into all the world, you see, and do what? Preach the gospel. Teach them about Jesus, you see. See who to? Every creature. May you never see who they are. Your neighbor, your friend, who you meet. Just preach Jesus. Amen. Amen. You agree with that? Sure. God wants us to share that gift that he's given unto us, that wonderful, blessed gift. And when do we do that? Well, now would be a good time because the harvest is ready. I went down to the nursing home, as I said earlier, yesterday, and there was another fellow in there that I usually visit. His name is Bill Tincher. I just run on to him one day down there, and we got to talking, and he was an old railroad man. And he run these railroads all through here and over around Bedford and Columbus and all in through there, run them for years and years and years. And we just talked and talked and talked. Well, I went back yesterday and I'd forgot what room we were in. I don't know why. Did you ever forget anything? It gets worse. But anyway, I forgot what room we was in. So I went up to the people there and I said, where's Bill Tincher at? I said, I know, but I can't remember what it was. And she looked and she said, well, I don't see him listed here. She said, just a minute. She went back and she looked. She came back and said, well, he passed away. Said he passed away. See, just a little time went by and Bill went on. He was saved. He was a Christian. And you just don't know. You see, we just don't know. You see. But God says we need to share that. I remember meeting Bill for the first time. First thing we done when we got to talking, I found out, are you a Christian, Bill? Are you saved? Yes, sir. And he gave me a good testimony. He said, in fact, he said, as long as I can remember, after I was born, I was taken to church. He said, I don't ever remember not being in church. He said, sometimes I just want to get on that scooter sitting there that you're sitting. I was sitting in his scooter. And he said, I want to get in that scooter, and I just want to go on down here to down the street and just go to church. I said, it'd be a good thing to do, Bill. Instead of there, he went on to heaven. But you know, when you're saved, you got a different spirit in you. You got some desire to the things of God. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you may not be always able to be in the house of God, but you want to be. You want to be in God's house. You want to be there where the word of God is preached, you see. You see, so anyway, the gift, we need to share it with everybody that we can share it with, you see. Because we don't know, you see, how long they have. They don't know if maybe you're the last person that's going to do some planting and watering in their life. You see, we just need to share it. Where? Well, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Wherever. Don't make any difference. We just need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see. That's on a daily basis. Seriously, on a daily basis. The opportunity arises. You see, you ought to share the gospel. Track. Speak to someone, talk to them, give them something, you see. Give them one of Pastor Jerry's books, you know, on Grace Will Lead Me Home, Ron Allen's book. Give them one of those. Give them, you know, give them something to have the gospel in it. Amen. I give a lot of ladies my wife's book. Give them, it's got the gospel in it. She tells people how to be saved in that devotional book she wrote. So, you know what? That's what we got to do. We got to do it everywhere. No matter where we are, we got to tell people about Jesus Christ. Why? Because the harvest is ripe. Now, it's ready. I've heard all my life some people say, well, it's hard times, Brother Ross. People don't want to listen. It's this, it's that. Baloney. Is it all right if I use that word? That's a fine word, baloney. That's a good word. Amen. You know what it means. That's a bunch of baloney. It's always been hard. It's always been difficult. Always been people don't want to hear, don't want to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you see, it's not your responsibility that they do anything about it. It's your responsibility and mine just to give it. Amen. You can't make anybody get saved. But God, that's God's business. But you can give it, you see. And that's what we're to do. We're to share the gospel. Why? Because the harvest is ready. It's ready now. And not only that, it's a command of Christ. Jesus commands us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus commands us to do that. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. That's a command of God. And Jesus commands we ought to listen, you see. That's why we ought to share the gospel. And not only that, it's because people are perishing. See, people are going to die and go to hell if we don't get the gospel to them. You see, you understand that? See, if we don't get the gospel to them, they're not going to know how to be saved. Multitudes out there never heard the gospel, not the true gospel. They've heard some religious thing, but I'm talking about the true gospel. A lot of folk never heard it, don't understand it, don't know what we're talking about. We got to get it to them. You see, that's our responsibility, to share the gospel. So Jesus is the greatest gift that God could ever give it to us. He's a wonderful Savior, died on the cross for our sins, and we ought to talk about it. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme, through all eternity. I think it's a good thing to do, don't you? Just talk about Jesus. Well, we ought to do that. But I want to ask you a question. Did you ever look in the Bible? Did you ever look in the Bible and see what Jesus talked about more than anything else? The gift that God gave to His Son? Do you ever think about that? I want to share it with you. Okay? I want to tell you something. God gave to His Son a gift. And He just talked about it over and over and over again. It meant so much to Him. I want to take you over to John, the 6th chapter of John. Sixth chapter of John. And I want to read to you from verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from the heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. For that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you see about the gift that God, or Jesus said the Father gave him? It was you and me. Every single person that God gave to His Son, Jesus constantly was thrilled and wanted to talk about that gift. I want you to go over to John 17, please. John 17, let's read verse 2. He says, let's read verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Out of the world thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy words. You notice he said, I want to tell you about those that you gave me, Father. I want you to look also in verse number 9. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at verse 24. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. I'm going to tell you, over and over, Jesus talked about the gift that God gave, his Father gave to him, and that gift was me and you. That's all he wanted to talk about. And I think about the gift that God gave me. I think we need to get talking about it, don't you? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, he gave unto us eternal life through him. Now, Jesus is thankful and grateful that you and I are his children. Now, I know I'm like you. I don't know, understand it sometimes. I don't know why he would care. I'm no good. I mean that. Without Jesus, I am absolutely no good. But he loves me anyway. He just loves me. And he's thankful that I am his child. Boy, and I want to be thankful that he is my Savior. Now, I want to just say something to you, folks. Listen, I want you to check your heart out. See, I'm not trying to put doubt in anybody's mind, but you check your heart out right now. Have you ever received that gift that God gave of his Son, eternal life through Jesus Christ? Have you truly ever received it? If you have, rejoiced. If you haven't, you need to get that taken care of today. You need to receive Jesus Christ. That's no shame. You don't have to be ashamed. You should be happy. You should be grateful. And we will be happy and we'll be grateful that you've come to Christ and put your faith and trust in the Son of God. You see, that's what he wants for you. Amen? So I say to you that we're grateful and we ought to receive that gift that God gave. And then we ought to share it with everybody that we can. So I'm getting ready to pray, but I want to ask you, please, if you're not saved, if you do not know for sure that if you died today you'd go to heaven, please come at this invitation. Please come and let us take the word of God and show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful love and kindness that you've bestowed upon us by giving your Son. And Father, that we can have eternal life and we'll never perish. That's a promise of God if we put our faith and trust in Christ and become one of your children. So I pray today and ask you, God, your will be done in the people's lives. Deal with them, Holy Spirit of God. Convict hearts of their sin and their need of Christ. And then, Lord, help us to be sharers of the gospel. Help us to tell everybody we can that Jesus loves them. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.